All right, here we go. Yes. How is everyone? All right. Well, I feel like Bruce Spring, you've been practicing real hard. Santa's coming to town sooner than later. Has everyone, how many people have done their Christmas shopping already? Oh, man, y'all are amazing. I hadn't even started. This is 12 days of Christmas. That's the fun of it, right? Did you know that already? The 12 days of Christmas are upon us. So it's a great time to be here. If it's your first time hanging out with us, we're so thankful you're here. If you're watching online, you're just tuning in. We say it all the time here at the Vine Church. You're only a guest once. After that, we consider you family. So I want to let you know, welcome to the family. I'm the crazy one. So that position's occupied. Don't worry. So there won't be any judgment passed upon you because I'm the one, obviously, that just obviously, you know, it is what it is. If you know, you know. So I'm so thankful that you are here. And we say it all the time. Families get to know each other well. So I would love for you to get to know your neighbor well. I would love for you to get to know each other online, wherever you're watching. And I've got the question for us today is this. As you see, we're in our Christmas PJs, getting ready for everything. So what is your favorite Christmas PJs / maybe even Christmas Eve tradition? Let your family around you know, your friends. No one does anything on Christmas Eve here, it seems. Your favorite, how many folks, how about this? We're going to get some participation one way. How many folks took pictures in their Christmas PJs growing up? A few, yes. Okay, so that's a tradition. You took Christmas PJs pictures. I know a lot of people do that now. Tradition for us for Christmas Eve a lot of times is we got to open one gift on Christmas Eve, and then the rest had to be opened on Christmas Day, okay? So that was a Christmas Eve tradition I have. I hope that you can find one this year. If not, we've got Christmas tree cakes and cookies over here. You can eat all you want, and that can be your Christmas Eve tradition. But for each and every one of us, we all had something special that we did around Christmas. I mean, we have to say that we were. And in this season, a lot of times you hear it called an Advent season, and that's where we are right now, in the middle of an Advent season. Okay, so Advent for many of us, what we think of is it just literally means the arrival of a notable person or thing. This isn't just in Christianity. We call it the advent of modern media, the advent of the iPhone, the whatever iteration it is, the advent of a microphone. I don't know, whatever it is, we have that, the advent. We have these advent things going on. And what that literally means is you're waiting for something. There's something that's gonna happen. So the reason we're wearing our Christmas PJs is usually on Christmas Eve, we were waiting for something to happen, weren't we? Oh my goodness, weren't we? To wake up too early before mom and dad get in the room and rip all the presents open too early. Whatever that was, we were waiting on somebody to come. Either Santa was coming, Rudolph was coming, something was happening. But for us who believe in Christ Jesus, Christmas is about the arrival of Christ. And so many times, I want you to know, the reason we're wearing our Christmas PJs, I'll put my cards on the table right now, is there are many of us walking around in darkness looking for the light in our Christmas PJs because we're waiting for something that will fulfill us. We're waiting for something that will guide us. We're waiting for a light that will help us see. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we unpack this idea of God imparts to human hearts. Now, we just sang about O Come Emmanuel, one of my favorite Christmas songs, and it is literally about Jesus coming. It is about God imparting down to us his son to live this perfect sinless life we couldn't live, pay the penalty for our sin on the cross, die for that, and rise again on the third day. So here's the thing that I want to let you know. If you're walking in darkness or you're going to this, I literally just simply presented the gospel to you, and it's this. Here's something I want you to know. It's one thing to watch the news and know that a fact exists, a traffic jam. Maybe it's on your phone, a traffic jam happens, and it tells you to do something. When you have a traffic jam, what does the maps usually tell you to do? To reroute, right? To change course. And so for each and every one of us today, it's one thing to know that the light is here and know that Christ is here. It's another thing to do something about it and perhaps change the course of our life for something that died for us and live in fullness and walk in light. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm in a dark place, what is the one thing that we want to have? What do we do for children when they're afraid of the dark? What do we put in their room? A light. Not only a light, but usually what happens is a parent wraps their arms around their child to give them security to know that even if they wake up in the middle of the night, they're not alone. That's what many are in their Christmas PJs searching for right now, is a light in the darkness and to know that they aren't walking alone. And today I want to tell you, Jesus is here. The light has come. There's no other way for us to walk in the light instead of darkness than to trust that he is who he says he is, to trust the truth that he is already here. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in two places, okay? Isaiah 9 and John 1. Isaiah 9 and John 1. Now, if you're trying to figure out where Isaiah is, number one, if you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking as I'm hitting the microphone. Free for the asking. If you would like that, we could do that. We also follow along on the Bible app. But if you're looking for Isaiah, I love that I can mark it in my Bible. Cut your Bible in half. You're going to land somewhere around Psalms and Proverbs. Keep flipping right just a little bit, and you'll run into Isaiah. You'll run into Isaiah 9. So today we're going to be unpacking God imparts to human hearts through Isaiah 9. Now, we've been walking through a different, this is kind of, if you could tell, our series is kind of a little town of Bethlehem. We're taking some lyrics from there and unpacking that every week. And that's what we're talking about today as we talk about the arrival, the advent, and our Christmas PJs. Isaiah 9:2 says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Now see, here's what's crazy. In Israel at this time, it's 700 years before the birth of Christ when Isaiah writes this. 700 years. Israel is walking in darkness. They've been looking for the Messiah for so long. God gives them this. They've been going in and out of exile. They've been living in the promised land, turned their back on God, and continued to walk in darkness instead of in light. And Isaiah writes this and says, hey, listen, I know that you're in darkness right now, but there is a light coming. There is something good in the future that is going to come and make everything right. It's going to restore 700 years. 700 years. So let me ask you this. What if for Christmas in your stocking, you got something from Santa Claus that said, hey, in 700 years, it's going to be right. In 700 years, your stocking's going to have that present in it. How would you feel? Would you have hope? Is your hope in that stocking, or is your hope in that God is who he says he is and that he is faithful? Because that's where Israel is. And when I think of 2020, like, I can't think of a better verse. Because many are walking in darkness. And the thing about the darkness is it's lonely, it's painful, isolating. And I don't know about you, but I always seem to hit my toe when I'm walking in the darkness. And if you have kids that age, I don't know how you made sure the Legos made it in the bucket, but for some reason that one got you just in the right part of your heel that makes you want to talk to the Lord, whatever that is. So for some of us, that is where we are, and that's what I want you to know, and that's where Isaiah is, and he's pointing to that, and that's what Advent is all about, the arrival of the light, the arrival that no longer do you have to walk in darkness, no longer is that going to be your default. You have a choice. There is a switch now that you can receive and flip and walk in the light. The question is, will you trust and receive the free gift that comes at Christmas to do that? Because not only 700 years before did Isaiah write this, if you go in your Bible, if you want to go ahead and flip to John 1 as we unpack this even more, if you go in your Bible, you can see from Malachi 4 to Matthew 1, there's one page that goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and that one page represents 400 years of God's silence. 400 years of no prophets, 400 years of not hearing from God, 400 years of darkness in the land. And yet, the Christmas story comes, and the darkness no longer is sitting there on the land, but the light invades it. The light comes to make a way. And so what I'm getting at when it comes to John 1 is maybe that's where you are in 2020. You're asking, hey, I've been walking in darkness so long, when is it finally going to turn around for me? When's it going to be the right person? When's it finally going to be the right time? When is it finally gonna be the right place? And the Christmas story shows us that even in the midst of darkness, God is lining everything up for the light to come. And right now, what I want you to know is maybe you're walking through pain and isolation. Maybe you're walking through extreme grief. Maybe you're walking through loss. Maybe you're walking through job change. Maybe you're walking through life and it just feels like you are in darkness. And I want you to know that in Christ you have light. And in Christ, you're not going to wake up alone, because he's going to be there with you every step of the way. That's what Christmas is all about. God lining this up. So I want us to see if that's the season we're in, wondering about the right place, the right time, and the right person. I would just ask you this. Do you only want God to give you what you want, or to give you what you need? Because Israel searched for God to give them what they wanted, which was a king to overthrow the Roman oppression whose boot was on Israel's neck, cramping them down. Jesus spent his whole ministry hearing about that. If you would just overthrow Rome, we would believe. Maybe that's not where we are. Maybe right now your prayer is, if you would just answer my prayer, I would believe. And the thing is, whether we believe or not, the truth still remains. The light is here. And so for us, I want us to see John 1. You know I want to find some John in there. John 1, and see about this light. See the Christmas story in a little different way, and see what Isaiah was talking about the light in the darkness. John 1, verse 1 through 5 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Think about that. That's a good one. That's a good tongue twister, right? In other words, everything was made through him. Otherwise, if it wasn't made through him, it doesn't exist. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines where? In the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, from the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless, right? Void and formless. Darkness covered the land. His spirit hovered over the deep. And all of a sudden, God said, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness, and he saw that it was good, and that was the first day. The light was day. The darkness was night. Here's the thing. The light was Christ. He was there at the beginning. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning. God was there at the beginning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there at the beginning, all the way through. The difference was the light was separated from the darkness. The Christmas story is about the light not being separated in the darkness anymore, but coming down into the darkness and making a way for each and every one of us to walk in freedom and be exactly who we were created to be, no matter what season we are, no matter how many 2020s come, that we're going to be able to face it with hope. Not in ourselves. Not in what we can do, but in what has been done for us. And so I want you to know that the light is here. And even though what I love about this in John 1, if you look in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Even if you're walking in the dark and you can't comprehend, the light is here. The light is here. It has been here from the foundation of the earth. It has been here from the beginning. The thing is, right now you may be in the dark, and I don't know about you, but if I'm in the dark, I feel like a turtle on my back just needing somebody to flip me over, and I'm sitting there. I don't know. I was doing this. I don't know if turtles do that. But I know they're on their back, and I'm sitting there on my shell, and I'm trying to get somebody to flip me over, and I'm rocking and rolling, trying to get there, right? Like the first worship song, singing there, going, telling it on the mountain. I'm rocking and rolling, trying to get something to flip me over. But the thing is, some of us have been in the dark so long, we don't even know we need a helping hand. We're asking, is this as good as it gets? And Jesus came to show you it's not. It's worth so much more. And it does get better, because when you're knocked down and helpless is when you need light. So much so that Jesus talked to Clark Griswold and said, you've got to put all the 1,000 twinkling ice lights up there, and you got to get the knots out, and you got to get there, and you got to you got to make the face when you do it and connect the lights and take out all the power plants and shine the light in the neighborhood, because that is what Christmas is about, the advent of light. You look everywhere. What folks don't realize is when they're in darkness, then Christmas comes, they'll go put lights on their tree, put lights on their house, and they don't even realize they're pointing to the light that is Christ. And for us that are in Christ, that's what we get to do, is point, just like John did here in verse 6 through 8. Not John who wrote this, but John the Baptist. It says this in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, we talked about his mom and dad last week, Zechariah and Elizabeth, when we talked about barrenness and how God works through the barrenness. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, but Christians, those who believe that Jesus is who he says he is, this is what we're called to do in this season. He came only as a witness to the light. Even in 2020, if we're in Christ Jesus, I wonder how much of us can say that we're a witness to the light. Are we letting our little light shine? Are we hiding it under a bushel? No. Are we blowing it out or whatever that is? Y'all know that's why I don't like cake. Praise God. COVID changed it all. Praise God. I ain't got to worry about that. No spitting on my cake no more. So birthday cake might be in order this year. Just saying. Are we hiding our light? Because the light shines through us to point to the way that is him, even in the midst of the darkness. So whatever darkness you are in, I just want to ask you, have you opened your eyes to the light? Has the light been your career? Has the light been your house, your job, your car, your degree, that expensive piece of paper hanging on the wall, that expensive receipt? What light have you been looking through? Because here's the thing about those lights. They always turn off. But the thing about the light is it shines forevermore. Goes on to say in John 9 through 14 about this light, the true light gives light to who? Everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Remember, there were no room for him in the end, all the way through. Even though he came in skin, he came in flesh. Flesh could not make a way for him to where he had to go be born in a manger. With whatever scene you have, whatever nativity scene you may have, disputed, undisputed, whatever that is, he was born there because there was no room for him. Because he didn't give the people what they wanted, but instead brought what they needed. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As I asked earlier, what's the one thing you want to have in the darkness? You want to be able to see. That's what I want to do. And what's the best way to see in the darkness? Light. Not, you know, that swim till I get to the refrigerator light. Yes. You know, like, and then you hear the angels sing. You know, like they're ready to go. The refrigerator light opens up. Not that. No. The real light. The best way to see is in the light. I love how C.S. Lewis talked about it with Narnia and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I think that's where many of us here are right now. It's always winter, but never Christmas. That's where Israel was in Isaiah 9. It was always winter, always snowing, always in my Christmas PJs, waiting, hearing the sleigh bells ring, waiting for something to come. But Christmas never came. I think that's where many of us are in this season. Got our PJs on in the middle of a dark winter. It's not a political statement. Don't read into that. A dark winter and darkness. And we're waiting for something to come. And I want to let you know, it already came. It's already here. You just have to receive it. And you know what? When he turns on the light and you're wearing your Christmas PJs, you can be in all your glory and it's going to be all right because that's how he created you to be. So for each and every one of us, I want us to see that wherever we are in this season, even though we're walking in darkness, the light has come. Even though it feels like winter, but Christmas hasn't come, I want you to know the reason we don't have darkness and where Israel was is the reason we walk in darkness is because we've lost our hope. We've lost our hope. Our hope isn't in the right thing. We've lost our hope. In other words, what happens is no hope is what makes us give up. Having no hope makes us give up. Having no hope makes us wonder how we're going to put one foot in front of the other. Having no hope says, I don't know why I'm even wearing Christmas PJs because Christmas isn't going to come. It's only going to be winter constantly. Yet with Christ, we know where our hope lies. Maybe you're a Star Wars fan. Remember, what has it been renamed? The first Star Wars, renamed Star Wars A New What? Hope. hope. Hope that Luke will come out from hiding, go against the evil galactic empire, will lead the rebel forces, and help restore good, would be something righteous, would bring goodness back to the people searching in evil darkness and oppression. A new hope. The question is, where is our hope? Our hope. Because where our hope is will be where our light shines. And the question is, if we're in the wrong place, how will we do that? Because for us, what should that hope be? If I could just be pretty enough. I mean, you think you just wake up looking this good? I mean, you know, you gotta, if I could just be pretty enough. If I could just have that extra zero in the bank account. If I could just have this car, this house. I could just have this status. But you see, the thing about being in darkness is you could have all of those and no one would see it because it doesn't matter. If I'm walking in darkness and you're walking in darkness, we're just going to run into each other and have a headache. That's what we're going to do. But when the light comes on, the true light, then we'll see that none of those things matter. None. None of those things matter. Only hope in Christ, because he is our only hope. Last week we talked about Elizabeth going into hiding because of her shame. The opposite of shame is hope. The reason she could walk out is hope. The reason she could have John the Baptist is hope. The reason that John the Baptist leaps for joy when Mary comes to her, if you read about it in Matthew and Luke, is because of hope. Hope that there is something coming. Hope that will restore. Hope that winter will finally be over and Christmas will come. If you got your Bible back in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, feel free to flip back there. I have my handy dandy bookmark here. Verse 6 and 7 goes on to tell us this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. In other words, he will restore us to good. He is the future good thing that is to come, to restore everything to goodness, to restore everything the way it was supposed to be, not to walk in darkness, but to walk in light. He is to come. How could Isaiah write this 700 years before the Messiah came? Hope. Hope. Yes, he had faith, but he knew where his hope lied. Lane. Sorry, English people, whatever that is, where his hope lies in something that's eternal, something that lasts forever. His government will be forever, and peace, there will be no end to it when the Messiah comes. When the Messiah comes. Skeptics would say about the Christmas story, about the nativity scene, about when the wise men came, about how many animals there were there, how many weren't, how many... what really happened, what didn't, whatever that looks like. But the skeptics would say, if God was to really come to earth, there's no way he would come through a teen mom. And I would say, you don't know my God. I would say, you got to see that because of that, you would think God would come with rolling thunder, with chariots playing, you know, some crazy awesome song. I don't know what it would be, you know, and lightning and thunder, you know, like you see on the side of those weird vans. Like, you know what I'm saying, you know, with a rainbow and unicorns and all that crazy good stuff. Like, you would think there would be such a big pronouncement that if God came, then the world would... Oh, wait, there were angels singing in the heavens and there was a star that... Maybe God did make a big announcement and he did it through light, because every time you see the shepherds in the field, they saw a great what? Light. When you look, the three wise men looked and saw a light in the sky and they followed it. So for the skeptic here, I would say, maybe you're trying to deny this because you've missed out on being in the light because you love the darkness so much. Because you're afraid that just like cockroaches, when the light comes on, you've got to go hide. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that has ever came that when the light comes on, you can stand there and know that you're not alone, and that's Christ Jesus. You don't have shame. You don't have guilt. You have forgiveness. You don't have condemnation. You don't have judgment. You have receiving, reception. It can only be found in Christ. And so today, wherever you are, maybe you're walking in darkness and you're trying to figure out your hope. Well, Charles Spurgeon, the great evangelist, said it this way. Romans 15, he said, is the richest scripture in the Bible. Romans 15, 13. And it says this about hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Christmas cards have these words and platitudes on them constantly, but they mean nothing if your hope is in the right place. At Christmas, we talk about peace, we talk about joy, and we talk about overflow of eating too much, probably, worse than Thanksgiving. Like, whatever, eating too many sweets, I don't know, whatever that is. Yeah, there's zero calorie here when you come hang out here. We've already prayed over that. But overflow. But it all was where our hope lies. All is where our hope lies. Where does our hope lie? You see, Christmas breaks in and ponders that there's something better. Christmas comes and says, hey, there's got to be something better than this, because if not, I'm wearing my Christmas PJs every day, and this is as good as it gets. And I don't know about you, but if this is as good as it gets, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it, because I know there's something more, there's something greater. That's what Christmas does. The world ponders, is there more than this? That's why the gifts overflow. That's why the trees overflow. That's why the yard decorations overflow. That's why everything overflows, because there has to be something greater. And it all points to light. And I want you to know, the greater has come. The light has come. We just read it. There is light. The question is, will we receive it? Because for us, if we have our hope in the true light that Jesus is, he said in John 8, he's the light of the world. If we have our hope in him, then we know that we can have biblical hope. Biblical hope is certainty. It's not fake. It's not something that I'm unsure of. Biblical hope is real. And it's real, and it believes this. The faith in biblical hope is that something good has come to restore everything, to be good the way it was intended to be. And so for us, maybe you're in darkness, maybe you're skeptic in darkness, you're trying to figure this out, you're saying, there's no way that God could love me. And I would tell you, he'd love you so much, he'd rather die than not be in a relationship with you. He would love you enough that instead of leaving us in darkness, he wanted us to walk in light. He would love us enough that he would send his only son to come, live a perfect life we couldn't live, perfect, sinless life we couldn't live, pay the penalty for our sin on the cross, and not stay dead, but rose again, defeating death, hell, and Hades all the way through, and the grave, defeating it all just for us. And he did it in spite of us. In spite of us in our Christmas PJs, in spite of him being under our tree and saying, hey, you're not what I thought you would be, he still came for us. And he says, will you just receive me? For many of us right now, the reason that we are skeptic of things is we call it philosophy. Philosophy. Well, the philosophy of it all, that's awesome. Here's the thing about philosophy. I'm a nerd at times, as you can tell. I'm sorry, it comes out more in this season that I've been in, I'll be honest with you, is this. Did you know that philosophy was born out of our fear of death? It didn't aim to answer the questions of life. It aimed to ask, why do we die? And when you know that and you walk into that, I had to learn philosophy on the left coast, if you will, in a completely different place than where I grew up. And it gave me perspective to see that when we try to walk through philosophy, the only reason we learn from philosophy, we think that it gives us a way to live our life, but it doesn't. It just tells us why we have to be afraid of death. But you see, Christ, and in Christ, we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of what this world is. Only in Christ can we answer that question, where death is not something that we have to be afraid of. And so I just want to tell you where we are through the darkness of the season that you're in. I can tell you, even personally, as I've walked through grief of my mother passing, I walked through grief this year of my father passing. Like, as I walk through this dark season, I want to tell you, and I want to make a declaration for us who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe this is you today. You've chosen to walk in darkness. You've chosen that, hey, this is where I need to be. I know what the light looks like, and I know what it means to walk in the light, but instead, I would rather walk in darkness. And here's what I would say to you. I don't know about you. This season has been painful. It has been isolating, and it hurts. I'm not going to lie to you. It hurts. But every time I look in the Bible, God is lining everything up in those painful, hurtful, broken seasons. And I will tell you, in this season, I don't know about you, the declaration I have is I don't want to go back to the relationship I had in 2019 with Christ that was shallow and took him for granted. What if 2020, he's saying, don't go to the shallowness that Israel had that waited 700 years for the Messiah. Sink deeper into me, grow into me, experience my presence. Know that I will not leave you alone, because I know in this season, only because of him am I even standing here, able to walk, knowing that I'm not going through it alone, knowing that the light is with me, guiding me step by step all the way through. And as I sink deeper into his presence, I experience his glory and I experience more of who he is. And when I know more of him, I get to know more of me. And wherever you are right now in the darkness of this season, I want to ask you, through your life, have you taken Jesus for granted, or have you trusted him? Because if I didn't have hope in him in this season, I wouldn't be here. I can tell you right now, I would not be here, because I would be asking, is this as good as it gets? To grow up without a father and to lose a mother way too young. Have an amazing, loving family. If it wasn't for my family and him surrounding me with my family, amazing church, amazing Vine fam, I wouldn't be able to be here. But the difference is the darkness that I've walked through in this has been him wrapping his arms around me through each of you as we get to walk in the light. And I wonder if this year we would say, we're going to be different. We're not going back to that. We're going to take a step forward in the light instead of stepping back into the darkness. What if we knew that the step back in our relationship would give us half darkness and half light, and that's not what Jesus died for? He died for us to step fully into the light to experience him. And so for us, I wonder in this season if we would do that. Would we trust that he is working it all out for his glory and our good, even when we can't understand it? Even when we can't understand it. That is what faith, hope, and love is all about. That is what walking in the light is all about. So the question I have for us is, how is any of this hope actually true? How does any of it work? If you don't connect with me from my story, you don't connect with the truth that is the gospel and what is happening, I just want to say this. Maybe you're walking in darkness and you think your hope is in the next promotion. Your hope is in the next child. Your hope is in the next car, in the next house, and the next dollar in your bank account. And I just want to ask you this. Have any of those things died for your sin? Because they haven't. There's only one thing that came and died for your sin and my sin, and that's Christ Jesus. That is the light. He did it in spite of us. All of us, because of our sin, are walking in darkness, blind, aimlessly walking this earth, trying to figure out how to do it. But when we receive the gift that is Christ, the gift that is salvation, all of a sudden, the lights are on. And we can see our next step. And all of a sudden, I have hope. Better than Motel 6 leaving the light on. Don't kick me off because I gave a shameless promotion. Better than Motel 6 leaving a light on. His light never ends. It never fades. It's always on. Not blinding, comforting. Comforting and healing. And so for us, I want you to know, Christmas is true. Jesus is real. But not only is Christmas true, where Christmas is going is true. He's coming back. We celebrate this Advent season, not just that Jesus came and declaring that the light is here, but the light is coming back. Those who are asleep in Christ Jesus, we will see again. We're going to see them, and we have a hope. All of us have a hope. We know that we will see them again, that he is coming back. He is preparing a place for us. He's getting it ready. He is baking all those Christmas cookies, Christmas tree cakes, everything else. He's getting some ham delights. If you know, that was a Christmas Day tradition for me. Like, he is getting them all ready for us, getting it set up for us to go and be with him for eternity. But do we live that way? You see, Herod was there in the Christmas story and cast a cross-shaped shadow over all of the kingdom trying to find the Messiah, because he said their hope of the people must be in me, not in the Messiah that's going to come, because he's going to defeat me. And the crazy thing is, the ultimate place that Jesus goes is to the death. If Herod would have just received him, he would have missed out and not realized that the Messiah was there to save him, not to overthrow him. And yet Jesus, in everything, fulfills all that he is called to do. And that's what Christmas is all about. The good thing that came out of Christmas, not was just the light coming to the darkness, but what the light has done for us. Christmas isn't something we do on December 25th every year. It's something that's been done for us. He came. He lived this life we couldn't. I think of it this way. He hunted me down in the darkness. When I was playing hide and go seek, he found me. And the question is, will you spend the rest of your life hiding, hoping that something will find you, or will you know that he's already here? All you got to do is receive him. Have you ever played hide and go seek with a child? It's always fun. Now, don't lie, parents. Sometimes you do it just so that you can get some rest. I know it is what it is. 3, 2, 199, 98. If you know, you know. I know that's what you do. That is what it is, right? You do that. But there's something about finding the child. There's usually joy when they're found, isn't it? A little bit of joy. Maybe there's a little bit of fear. I guess as they get older, I don't know. I haven't experienced that, but that's what I think of when Jesus found me. The joy that I felt is small comparison to the joy that he felt when I finally received him. And for each and every one of us, that's what I want us to talk about is this. Where is your hope? Is your hope that Christmas will come in your PJs and that there'll be a gift that's going to be under the tree? Because parents of children, how long do those Christmas gifts last? When school starts back, over under 10 minutes, over under 20 minutes before it's laid to the side and they're ready for the next big thing, right? You spent all this time getting it ready and going and doing everything you need to do, preparing it, making sure that it found its proper place in the proper spot in the tree. And all of a sudden, the wrapping paper has just gone crazy. The toy is out, and they play in the box. What is this? It's like a cat. If a fits, a sits. Like, what is wrong? Like, I could have just bought you a box. I could have went to Sam's and grabbed a box and wrapped it, and that would have been Christmas. See, that's where we are in darkness as the world without Christ. We got our Christmas PJs on, hoping for the next gift to open up. Oh, a new promotion. We open it up, and it wears off, and we can't figure out why it doesn't fulfill us. Oh, a new relationship. And we make that person be our Savior, not Jesus, and we wonder why it falls apart and why it's a disaster. Oh, a new car. It's broken. It's tore up from the floor up. You know, it just is what it is. It's broken. Oh, a new house. A new job. And all of a sudden, it wears out. The things of this world will always stay in darkness. The difference is when we open this free gift of salvation that Christ gave us, we open the light. And when we receive it, all of a sudden, we see where our hope lies. So is your hope in the things of this world? Because if it's so, you might as well walk around with a blindfold on. But if it's in the things of Christ and you receive his light, you'll be able to see him clearly, see them clearly the way he sees them, and walk in the fullness that he died to give you. And so today, as we come in and close out, I want to ask you, where does your hope lie? If it's in the things of this world, I want to ask you, would you consider Christ? Would you consider him? How are the things of this world treating you? If 2020 is a sign of anything, it's that the things of this world will pass. Death is batting 1,000. It is. The only thing that's conquered death is Christ. The only thing for us that we can have, that we don't have to walk in fear of death with a philosophy and a program to overcome, is to trust that Jesus is who he says he is and receive it. And so right now, I want to offer that opportunity. It's why we do what we do each and every week here as a church. I want to ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. And I just want to ask you where your hope lies. Because right now, wherever you are, want to offer you the opportunity to receive this free gift of salvation. It's not the words of this prayer that's going to save you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And we're going to pray out loud as a family together for the benefit of those coming to the faith for the first time. So please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Died the death I deserve for my sin on the cross. But loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you if for the first time you have received this free gift of salvation that you would have the courage to respond by raising your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand in the house of the Lord if that's you? If you can say that for the first time you've received this free gift of salvation. If you're watching online, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Maybe you're listening online right now. Would you please let us know if you have received this free gift and put your hope in Christ alone? You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. And for the rest of us, maybe you need to pray with someone today. Maybe you know what it's like to walk in the light, but this season just feels like winter and that Christmas is never going to come. And you need to be reminded of the joy of hearing the sleigh bells, the joy of hearing Jesus coming, the joy of being in the Lord because we are his delight. And you need to pray with someone. That's open to you too at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. For the rest of us, if you'll look up, we're about to sing an amazing song about how God imparted his son to human hearts, made a way for our brokenness and our human hearts, made a way for us at Christmas so that we could experience the fullness that Jesus died to give us. And so if you're in this moment, I just want to say, hey, as we get ready to enter into the presence of God, why don't we just in this moment, if you need to talk with someone, please talk with someone. But in this moment, would we just step into the presence of God? Because I know as we step into the presence of God together, we can't help but reflect his light. I know when I'm outside and I'm in the sun, I reflect really red the light of the sun. And I know if the sun will make me reflect red, the sun will make me reflect light. And so for us, I'm going to ask you, will you step into his presence and just experience in him today?
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
All right. Well, I said today at the beginning, I would talk to you more about our Heart for the House offering day, sowing day, if you will. We do this every year. And so this year, I kind of hinted at it. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be collecting an offering. We've already given to Operation Christmas Child, which has been great. So globally, we've supported Christmas and the hope of the gospel going around the world. We're going to be supporting four kids at the Hope Center for Children. And what that does is the Hope Center for Children is for foster families, where they're specifically, their specialty is helping children who have aged out of foster care have a home to stay, advice that's given, and they help them get into school to help them be on solid ground as they go forward. So we're going to be sponsoring at least four children this year. Anything above and beyond that, we're going to be sharing between the Carolina Pregnancy Center and the Hope Center for Children, because here's the thing that breaks my heart about this is a lot of times those children had their Christmas PJs on and Christmas hasn't come. Their whole life they've had their PJs on and their family has thrown them away. They've gone from house to house and they're looking for a house that is eternal. And how we get to support them, what better time than Christmas to live out sharing the hope of the gospel that there is something that's eternal, that they have an eternal home. Even though they've been drugged, pillar to post, that there is someone who loves them, that's never forsaken them, that is going to be with them each and every step of the way. And we as a church get to play a small part of that by giving a financial gift. We get to support the children, but also we get to support those families that are there at the Hope Center for Children. We get to have resources for folks, because here's the thing that I love about the Heart for the House Christmas offering as I talk about it, and we are in our Christmas PJs. We know where our hope lies, right? What better way to show the world that for hope to get to the ends of the earth, a sacrifice is required? Because that's what Jesus did. He sacrificed so that we could experience real hope. That's what this is all about. So sometimes God doesn't call you to give. This is an offering. So if God hasn't called you to give, this isn't a compulsory in giving. We don't work that way. I would rather you do what God has called you to do. So if you would like to take a part of that, go to thevine.tv/give. You can give in our tithe box after the service. If you want to support us being able to help as many children, as many families that we possibly can, please do that today so that we can get that to those places by Christmas. We would love to give them that. I will tell it to you this way. Neither one of those places are expecting anything else from us. So how great is it that we get to give more than is expected? Because that's what Jesus did for us. So as we get ready to do that, I'm going to pray. We're going to have an awesome day. And I'm going to hope that you join us next week. I'm going to let you know we've got plenty of chairs. We're going to be rocking those ugly Christmas sweaters. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about come to us, abide with us, Lord Emmanuel. We're going to be celebrating Christmas even more. So I'm going to be praying, and what I'm going to be praying for is that we live as lights of hope in this world. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this season that you let us be in. Many would say this is a crazy season. This was an awful season. And how in the world can we praise and rejoice in this season when it seems like there's so much darkness? And it's because Jesus, you. Because of who you are, because you are our hope. You are who you say you are. And Jesus, as we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and praise, we enter into your presence. We can't help but praise and rejoice because none of us have done anything to deserve this. We can't be good enough. We can't work our way to it. Jesus, all we had to do is receive what you have already done and what Christmas is all about. So Jesus, I pray as we go out into this world and we step into the darkness, we would be your light because you came down into the darkness for us. So as we go about in this world, Jesus, I pray that we would share real hope. Hope that never ends. Peace that never ends. Fulfillment and joy that can be satisfied only in you, not of the things of this world, Jesus. And today, maybe we just need to be reminded of how much you love us. And I pray in this moment that if we are, that we would just ask you to show us like never before. Jesus, many of us are walking through seasons of grief. Many of us are walking through seasons of loss. But I'm so thankful that when we trust in you, we don't do it alone. We love you, Jesus. We hope and pray you bring us back here safely next week if it be your will. And we pray that everything we do would be to your glory. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. See you next week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.